Good morning, Teachers on Fire. How are you on this fine morning? I hope you've enjoyed a fantastic week, whether that was in the classroom or enjoying relaxed time with family and friends over American Thanksgiving. I hope you are feeling good and ready to do some talking about teaching this morning as we jump into some of the top posts from EducationX over the last week. Let's jump right into it. I'm going to put up this post from Emily at EDU with Emily. She says, do you provide time for students to reflect on their learning after a lesson or unit? If so, what strategies do you use? Exit tickets. I wish my teacher knew notes. Thumbs up, thumbs down. I understand, don't understand, turn in bins, etc. So those were some of the ideas that she proposed. I was interested by the question because this is an area of teaching and practice that I'm not particularly strong in. So she listed off about five different examples there. What else might we find in some of the replies? Brian McManus says, what stood out to you from the lesson? So he is sharing a number of questions that we can ask students. What stood out to you from the lesson? What wonderings do you have about what we learned today? What was familiar to you? What was new to you? Susan Keller says, most assignments have required reflection. I love their honesty and I learn quite a bit about them. Jamie at JamieL99 says, I use exit tickets. What helped most? Fist to five. Depends on the group and what I've picked up on during the lesson. Texted as Betsy says, beginning of the next class period. Susie Plout says, the last page of the test. And she shares some questions. What are you proud of this unit? What did you study for that you weren't asked on this test? What strategies did you learn from peers? Name any peers who helped you. What else do you want me to know? Interesting. Lots of room there for students to sort of take that in different directions. I like that part about naming the classmate who was helpful. That sort of gets me thinking about certain trends emerging and certain names coming up over and over again that you can really commend and build into. Brian Petro says, I usually spend part of the next class asking them what they thought of the project and what they learned from it. Sarah Donnelly says, exit tickets in the form of a question in Google Classroom. Yes, use that quick question feature in Google Classroom. It's underutilized. Where am I? Okay. Or sometimes a post-it when there's 3 minutes until the bell. So yes, using a post-it note. And Zook says, portfolio reflections, blogs. Love the blogs idea. I don't know how often that is used in most of our classrooms, but that is a powerful suggestion. And I'd love to see, Zook, how you are using that. Just a little bit more information about the nature of the blog. Is it a Google site? Is it an edu blog? What does that look like? Is it in a secure environment? Is it within the LMS? I've got a few questions there, but I think it's powerful. It actually reminds me of, and I'll go back to the full screen for this. It reminds me of something that George Kuros wrote years ago in terms of educators and professional development. Why don't we build into our professional learning opportunities, our professional learning days, sessions, etc.? Let's build in time for educators to quietly reflect and write and actually blog about their learning. I know I'm a little biased. I know that's not for everyone, but I think it's so powerful. We know what we write about. I think that theme is going to come up again in this broadcast. Okay, let's get back to it. I'm going to move from here to this post from a former guest of the Teachers on Fire podcast, Ms. Jahimiak. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. Susan Jahimiak. She says this, I have to say that I never thought about advancing my degree toward educational leadership, but every single time I listen to a podcast episode, I have something pulling on my heartstrings to pursue it. That is the power this podcast has. Hashtag F4Leaders. And so if you scroll under the post, you'll see me reply, hey, what's the name of the podcast, Susan? I took a quick look for F4Leaders, but couldn't find it. And she tells me Unsupervised Leadership. So here's the Unsupervised Leadership podcast. They've got a very professional website, and apparently it was in the top 10% of the most listened to education podcasts last year. The hosts are Courtney Orzel and Kate Koch. the Unsupervised Leadership Podcast. I always like to boost other educational podcasts, so this looks like a good one. As I said, very professional website. Check it out, especially if you are, I sense, a woman and on a path toward educational leadership, perhaps your master's degree. Susan is giving it the two thumbs up, so check that out. Moving to our next post, still trying hard not to say tweet. Moving to our next post here on Education X. This one from at Josh Kunath. He says, in quotes, mind you, this is important. In quotes, he says, too bad if your grade is invalid. I'm too irked about your absences to give you a grade that accurately shows your learning of the standards. End quote. This, he says, is what our actions say when we grade behaviors such as attendance and missing assignments instead of learning. I can't applaud this post enough. I completely agree, Josh. And we've talked about it many times on the podcast, but these things, behavior, attendance, missed assignments, they should not result in penalties or a reduced grade. If we're doing that, then we're using our gradebook as leverage to coerce students into desired behaviors. And that's not the function of the gradebook. It's not the function of the report card. It's not the function of reporting in general. So I have to agree, giving this post a full round of applause. Still on the topic of assessment, moving over to Natalie Vardabasso. She's found on X at Natabasso. One of the biggest benefits of standards-based grading for students with IEPs is disrupting the reductionist label of, quote, low. If a student has a decoding disability, they can still access the learning of most standards with an accommodation, i.e. audio. Absolutely. And I am slowly building my knowledge and comfort with UDL. And one of the mindset shifts that we need to make is that we're not, again, it's not differentiated instruction. It's this idea that instead of giving different students different specialized opportunities, we're creating a menu of on-ramps and resources available for all students. And so bringing it back to this particular example, that student, if they have a decoding disability, i.e. they are struggling in their reading, they can still access the learning of most standards with an accommodation like an audiobook. And again, it goes back to the power of learning targets, right? This came up in a workshop 2 weeks ago that I think some English teachers historically maybe have been a little bit anxious about saying, oh, that student is going to listen to an audiobook. Well, what about, why aren't they reading the book? Or isn't that a problem that they're not reading the novel study, whatever it might be? Well, it all depends on your learning target. If your learning target is something related to, let's say, an analysis of the plot outline or some sort of character study, then maybe actually reading the text, if that's not your learning target, that doesn't have to happen. That doesn't have to happen. And that's really a mindset shift, I think, that English teachers and other teachers need to continue to work on. It really depends on the learning target. And the learning target can free us in that particular case, right? Because we can offer all sorts of supports and on-ramps that maybe we would have felt like in the past is somehow cheating or giving the student, quote, too much help, which is an idea that really needs scrutiny. I am rambling, so I'm going to move on to the next post. This one from Jeremy Jorgensen, recent guest here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. You'll find him on X at Jeremy A. Jorg. He says, research shows that integrating writing into subjects improves learning across all grade levels. If you can write well, you can think well. Didn't we just say that? 100%, Jeremy. I am applauding along with this, and I was thinking about it again this week. That what if we thought about it in these stark terms? What if we said a human being can only think as logically as they are able to write? Now, I know I'm pushing that to an extreme, but if we think about thinking in those terms, if we say that writing and the logical formulation of arguments and facts is essential because we're using those same skills in our brain simply to put together ideas and articulate, express ideas, then doesn't that add emphasis to our literacy instruction? Doesn't that add weight and importance to this idea of writing? Shouldn't we be allowing our students to write freely and giving them more opportunities to write? I like that so much. So thank you, Jeremy, for that post. Two more coming up. And I see one of them is also from Jeremy. Maybe we'll go to that one next. Same educator. He says, on average, a teacher makes around 1,500 decisions per school day, which can lead to decision paralysis. Make a list of priorities and then focus on the two most important items. And if you can manage time for a walk, do it. Time in quiet reflection is like medicine. 100% to that as well. You can tell I'm in alignment with Jeremy on most things, but yes, make that time to go for a walk if you're able to do so. He talks about quiet reflection. I like to go for walks with my significant other, with Mrs. Cavey, and that makes for great head clearing and sharing of ideas and catching up and strengthening our marriage. One other thing too that maybe you've seen if you're a consumer of Instagram Reels or TikToks, I remember for a while there was a trending audio clip that talked about the need or the importance of walking beside water. So if you do live near a lake, or if you're blessed to live near an ocean like I am, make that walk along the water. There's something so deeply calming and refreshing about doing that. So yes, absolutely. Come back on those 1,500 decisions per day by going for a walk. Last post of the week that I'll talk about in this edition of Saturday Morning Teacher Talk is from Che Cheney at Mr. C. Cheney. He says, teachers don't employ strategies, pedagogies, or philosophies in absolutes. We watch and observe, then explore and find tools, activities, and structures that support learning. It's an artistry of competent and caring fusion. Well said, sir. And I had fresh on my mind the Che and Pav Show, the latest podcast episode from their amazing podcast. These are two teachers in the Toronto area who have done so much. The list is long, but they recently published an episode on building thinking classrooms. And I would say for the majority of this year, they've been publishing pictures from their classrooms, from their practice, about their application of building thinking classrooms. And they got into an interesting part of the conversation on the podcast when Pav was talking about how building thinking classrooms stipulates that for student groups, visibly randomized student groups, the prescribed number, the ideal number, is 3. Not 2, not 4, but 3. And Che pushed back on this in his Che way a little bit and said, actually, in his class, and mind you, he's using some of these principles in other subjects, so that plays a role as well. He's not working simply in math, he's working in English and social studies, but he says that he takes the liberty of giving students the freedom to choose their group size. And so he has some groups of 2. I'm not sure if he has any solos, but he has some as low as 2 and as high as 6. And that brings us back to this post, because he says that teachers generally, or no, I'll quote him here. He says, teachers don't employ strategies, pedagogies, or philosophies in absolutes. And so I think what he was saying, and you need to listen to the podcast because it was a great episode, but I think what he was saying is, hey, listen, we're going to take all of the ideas, all of the theory, all of the research, and then apply it in our ways. And not all of our application is going to match perfectly with what was prescribed in this book or what came out of this research. We may tweak, and that's part of our role as education professionals. And I do agree on that particular principle of 3. I tend to follow that in my own classroom, and I tend to trust in the research. But I think his broader point about teacher autonomy and professional judgment is well taken. So thank you for that, Che, and thank you, Che and Pav, for a great episode on the Che and Pav Show. Again, that last episode was about building thinking classrooms. I am going to leave my survey of the top posts on Education X there for the week. Thank you so much. If you are a friend, a connection on Education X, again, we're talking about X, the platform formerly named Twitter. I hope you are enjoying your time there. I hope you are engaging. Remember that Twitter or X is a place where we engage in conversation. If you're finding that you're creating posts and just putting ideas out there and not getting a lot of engagement or replies, that's because you're not jumping into conversations. So try that. Look through your feed. Hopefully your feed is education only. I also recommend that if it's filled with sports and politics, you will struggle to find a lot of education inspiration from other teachers and educators around the world. But if you do have a curated feed, you're focused on education, and you are following inspiring educators, I promise you're going to find topics and areas that inspire and engage you. And by you engaging and responding, you fuel those conversations and the learning for others. So thank you so much for all that you do, educators. Once more, happy Thanksgiving to my American listeners. Thank you so much for supporting my work here on the Teachers on Fire channel on YouTube and on the podcast. And until next time, I'm going to say a hearty goodbye. Take care, share an encouraging message to lift up a colleague, and keep your own fire for learning burning bright. That's it for this week. See you next week on Saturday Morning Teacher Talk. Bye-bye.